Welcome to the Behind Their Business podcast, the show that's peeling back the curtain and showing what's actually happening behind the scenes of running a business. I'm your host, Steph Blake, and each week you'll hear from women at all levels of business who are showcasing their stories of struggle and triumph as they juggle business ownership with day-to-day life. Join us to hear inspiring stories and strategies for starting and growing your own business. Hello and welcome to the Behind Their Business podcast. If you're brand new to the show, welcome. And if you are a repeat listener and fan, welcome back. I am your host, Steph Blake, and I'm so excited to be speaking with our guest today. Before we dive into the episode, though, I want to remind everybody that we are really focused on providing an ad-free experience so we can keep the content truly focused on inspiring others. With that said, there is still a lot of time and cost associated with running the show, so we've decided to open up donations to anyone that feels called to support our mission. Plus, each quarter, we're using a portion of those donations and putting them into our scholarship program. And this program gives scholarships to women who are ready to start or scale their own businesses, but they don't necessarily have the financial means to invest in support. Now, my mission in this world is to help women create true freedom in their lives, and our scholarship program is one way that I'm continuing to make this possible. Our goal is to give at least five women a scholarship of $500 each quarter, but I know that I cannot do it on my own, so that's why I'm calling on the collective, all of you amazing listeners, to help make this possible. We also have a couple of special bonuses for each person that decides to donate too. So you're going to get access to the Behind Their Business private community. You're going to get a video version of each of the interviews, weekly accountability check-ins from me, monthly Q&A calls with me to get support with starting and growing your business, and more. So if you are feeling called to support the show and our mission of inspiring others and bringing more women-led businesses into the world, you can go to behindtheirbusiness.com, click the donate button, and give any amount that you feel called to. Every single dollar counts, and we truly appreciate each person that has donated already and those who will continue to donate in the future. Or if you are somebody who's serious about growing your business, but you don't have the means to invest in support right now, we would love to have you apply for a scholarship. You can go to our website, behindtheirbusiness.com, and get the details for that and submit an application. All right, now let's dive into the discussion with our incredible guest today.
All right, you guys, I am so excited to be interviewing Jade Smith today on the show. She's going to be sharing her experience with balancing the work dreams and personal dreams and letting them meet in the middle. And I can personally resonate with this topic so much because I have really big dreams for my life and my business. But I also know that sometimes we have seasons devoted to each one, and that's okay. And I mean, at the time of recording this, for me personally, I recently lost childcare for my son. So I can only work between like 5 and 10 hours a week right now because I'm spending the majority of my time with him. So I will admit that it's personally a struggle for both my sanity and my ego because my ego just wants to work and be the best at everything. But I'm also reminding myself that he's only going to be little for a little bit. So it's important to cherish this time. But enough about me. I want to dive into talking with Jade. So Jade, I'm going to hand the ropes over to you. Can you just start off by telling everybody who you are, what you do, and what got you started in your business? And then we'll dive into that topic.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you so much for having me. So excited to be here. I started my business about 2.5 years ago. I came from a project management role at a film company, had a lot of executive admin experience, worked in the nonprofit world. So I had quite a variety of skill and did a little bit of media, did a little bit of admin. And what interested me in starting my own virtual assistant business was the freedom to be home with kids, the freedom to, and that was really the foundation of it all, the freedom to do anything I wanted, to have the time freedom at home, to be with kids, and, you know, to have no ceiling. I can grow wherever I want to grow. And that was a very interesting journey because I never viewed myself as an entrepreneur. I never had any desire to start my own business. And the it just kind of came, it snuck up on me. And the first couple years were rocky. You're getting your footing. And last year, actually during the pandemic, things just took off. And I think a lot of it has to do with the online world growing and all of that. But I was really determined to grow. So it took off, and we are around 15 to 20 clients. So we're kind of like a boutique virtual assistant agency. And we have a team between 5 and 7 people. So we do some marketing services, social media, email marketing, landing page, kind of do anything you need us to do. And we help with systems in Dubsado or Airtable and connecting things with Kajabi and all of the, you know, heavier systems things. So yeah, that's what we do. That's where I've been in this journey. It's really fun to connect with other women who are trying to build their own virtual assistant business. So I offer coaching programs and this internship program that really has kind of been around since the beginning of my business. And so that's been really neat to walk other people through that journey. Like I've walked through that journey. There's so many women that are trying to do that right now. It's awesome to be part of that with them.
Yes, I completely agree. And that's one of the big reasons why I wanted to start this podcast in the first place, because that freedom of working for yourself, waking up when you want to, assuming your kids don't wake you up, and like going to the yes. grocery store at 10 in the morning when I was working in my 9-to-5, like that was my big dream. I would literally sit in a cubicle and there was a Jewel Osco across the street, and I would watch people go into the grocery store at 10 in the morning. And I was sitting in my cubicle just so depressed because I didn't have that freedom to go out and do what I wanted when I wanted to. And it sounds silly. And now I don't even go to the grocery store. I order all of my groceries, but that's besides the point. It's just having that extra freedom. And that's one of the missions behind this show too, to show other people that it's possible and yes. inspire them. And I love that you help people do that in your business too. So let's talk a little bit about the topic today, which is balancing work dreams and personal dreams. So can you share a little bit more about that and why it's such an important topic for people to hear about?
Yes. Where do I start? I was thinking about this and trying to wrap my head around, like, what does that mean? What does it mean to have balance with work dreams and personal dreams? I think that this is a tension and a struggle that everybody deals with on the day-to-day. Like, you are stuck in that cubicle and you're watching those people go in the grocery store and you're trying to think about, how can I do that? And it's that tension between being where you are and where do you want to be? And sometimes it's like, I see it as like being two tracks, and they kind of weave in and out of each other. They reflect each other. They complement each other. And I heard somebody a while back, they said they were talking about balance. Because if that's what we're looking at as the balance between the work dreams and the work goals and the personal dreams and the personal goals, if we're looking at that as balance, they said balance is not possible. It's not possible. And mm-hmm. when I heard that,
I agree with that.
Yeah. When I heard that, you know, at first you're like a little mad. You're like, don't tell me that. Don't tell me it's not possible. And it feels a little maybe disempowering, and you're like, okay, well, what does this look like? Tell me something that helps. Give me something I need. But it's also really empowering and really encouraging at the same time, because it doesn't have to, there's no formula. It doesn't have to be balanced in the way that we think of balance, the way that we put this expectation on ourselves about what does that look like to be balanced? I think when we back up and do some self-reflection and have these kinds of conversations to outline a realistic way of thinking about the work goals, the work dreams, and the personal goals and the personal dreams, and just see those things for what they are and ourselves in relation to them, if we can like have that sky level, you know, bird's eye view perspective about what's going on, we're going to free ourselves up to actually accomplish those things, to actually get there faster. Our mindset's going to be like on point. We're not going to suffer with imposter syndrome or burnout because there's a really clear vision there. And I think that that's really the foundation for what we might call balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with that. When I first heard the term balance, I literally thought, this is probably going to seem silly, like 50-50, like 50% yeah. personal life, 50% business life. And it just is like perfectly balanced, for lack of a better term, right? Uh-huh. And I have come to find out that is not the case, even before I had my son, because I was still working on my 9-to-5 while building my job. And there was not a balance there because I was doing like 40 hours in my job, but I was doing like 60 hours in my side hustle. So there was still no balance there. And then I wasn't sleeping. So like, where does the personal life come into all of this too? Right. And I also love that you shared, like, the focus on figuring out what that looks like for you specifically, like what feels good to you. I don't think enough people are asking themselves that.
Yeah.
I think people are just blindly following what other people are saying, or like listening to what other people are telling them to be true. Have you noticed that too?
That's a really great point. Yeah. And I think that that's a part of that expectation bubble, because we put expectation on ourselves, but a lot of times the expectation we're putting on ourselves is kind of formed by all these outside sources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the greatest pieces of advice that I got from somebody, and it's taken me a long time to do this, is to get quiet with myself and listen to what I'm saying inside. Like what is my internal voice saying to me? Because that's hard to do, right? A lot of people aren't doing that because it's not easy. And like they're just listening to other people or turning to other people, like coaches and consultants, and buying programs to try to give them the answer. But it doesn't really work that way. You have to figure out what works really good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that oftentimes that it actually ends up being a distraction, and it can be this thing that dilutes what you're trying to do too. You maybe get hazy and confused about what is the actual goal, because now you've got all these outside voices coming in and telling you what balance looks like or what the goals maybe should look like. And then, you know, you get down the road and you're like, wait, this isn't what I had in mind at all. And I still don't feel balanced. I just feel confused. So I think that that's one of the reasons that this conversation is so important, like you said, for people to be asking that question and have that self-awareness and take that investment for personal growth, so that we're doing the thing on both sides of the spectrum for the work and the personal, so that those can beautifully meet in the middle and really reflect the true desire that's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any examples of how you've done that in your own life, in your own business that you can call on? I know I'm just kind of like, I'm asking you to kind of think off the top of your head here.
Well, it's just funny because no one's arrived, you know, no one has got this figured out. So I can't say I'm the expert with this thing, but one of the reasons why this topic is relevant is because it's something I'm thinking about. You know, I think that's the first step for us to cross this bridge and learn the ebb and flow of what balance looks like is simply by being cognitive that we want to make this change. It's part of that, like, rewiring your brain and changing your mindset is like, okay, how do I act this out in my day-to-day life so that it's starting to, for lack of a better word, to manifest, you know, in all of these different areas.
I mean, I think that's the perfect word because that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I was going to say an example, like, from my own life, I feel like there's so many examples I feel like I'm actively working at right now, but I'm trying to think about very specifically that has been a really good display of like that balance working for me. And I think it would have to be the journey into my first year of motherhood. I think probably a lot of women experience that in that season. It's like a rites of passage, if you will, where you kind of learn a new way of doing things, because if there wasn't balance before, there's definitely not balance when you add a baby.
Right. That's the truth. Everything's out of whack. Your hormones, your brain, literally everything, your body, everything.
Exactly. And when that happens, and you're also, if you're, you know, have just started a business or trying to start a business, like, geez, you know, that's a lot. It's a lot going on. And so that's, I feel like, a time where we really can grow, and there's a lot of growing pains and understanding what that balance looks like. And there's a lot of maturing, even as people, just maturing, and, you know, can't be as selfish as you were before. You have to be more disciplined with your time and with what you do, and getting sleep, and all of those things kind of take their right place. But my story would be the process of coming out of a full-time position at a company. I knew that we were going to be having our first baby, and I wanted to go back to work part-time. So just the journey of, like, going from that full-time, you know, that's the work goal there was, I want to keep things sustained. I don't want to lose my place in the workplace. I want to stay engaged. I want to keep a career intact. That's a huge fear for a lot of mothers, especially depending on what kind of company you're at. You know, there's so many variations of what that could look like. And the company that I was at was a very small company. So, you know, not a lot of, like, benefits, or, you know, not a ton of guarantees about what that might look like going back. So there was some fear there around what that might look like. But the personal dream, the personal desire is, we're having a baby, and I want to be home with this baby. And I don't know yet what that looks like, because you never know. I feel like a lot of moms, this new moms, this happens, they're not sure if they're going to want to go back to work at all. They're like, maybe I just want to stay home, or maybe I don't want to be home with the baby at all. Maybe after this happens, I'm like, get me to work, get me some space. And so it's interesting, because you really don't know what to expect, and you have to have a lot of grace for yourself in that process of walking this thing out and figuring out what is it that you actually want in that personal desire. And just that journey of being able to go from the full-time position, the journey into motherhood, and actually re-enter that job at that same company in a more part-time position was really challenging. But I think that was one of the first eye-opening moments for me, of just seeing how your work life and your personal life should really feed each other. They should really respect each other. They should honor each other, and they should gain value from each other.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of things that I want to say. I'm taking notes right now, so I don't forget to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I have a couple of questions for you, because I think it will help the audience who's listening. So how many kids do you have now? Do you have just the one, or do you have more?
I have two.
You have two now.
I have a 5-year-old boy, and I have a 3-year-old girl.
Okay. And all of this was with your 5-year-old, I'm assuming, because that was your first baby.
Yeah, that's right. And okay. this process that I just described of, like, leaving that full-time job and going back into the part-time, that happened with my first. But then when we had our second baby, it was shortly after we had our second baby that I did the exact same thing. I went from full-time, had the baby, back to part-time. But then 4 or 5 months after having that second baby, I started my business.
Okay. That was going to be my next question. When did your business fall into all of this? So it was after baby number two.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. And you did that so that you could stay home with them, I'm assuming, spend more time. I know we talked about the freedom concept as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there were a few things that were driving that decision, but I just remember, it's so funny because now I'm in the online world, and there's just so much. Like, I say all the time, like, people say that the market is oversaturated. I'm like, no, the demand is high. Like, the needs in the online space is so high. There's so much work for people to do here.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I just have to pause on that, because I work with service providers like VAs, OBMs, graphic designers, and they're like, the market is oversaturated. There's a million VAs. And I'm like, do you not realize how much work there is available right now? In 2020, all of these businesses realized that they needed to be online. The market is literally exploding with opportunities right now. There's literally never been a better time to be online
it's
right now.
So but true.
It's crazy. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's exactly the truth. But back, you know, when was this? 20, early 2019 when I was getting started, I remember like actually driving in my car one day. I have this very vivid memory, like driving in the car on my way home from work. And I'm in that like 5:30 hour where it's like you're driving home, the rush hour traffic at the end of the day. And I was like just thinking through, like searching, digging through my brain, like trying to come up with what would it look like to make money from home? And I wasn't even really thinking about the online component, because actually at the time I was like, I want to do like more like hands-on things, you know, like I want to create, or I wasn't even thinking about the online component. I had no idea what was even available in that realm. And so having that vivid memory that day of like having no clue literally where I was going to go or what a business would look like, and to where I am now, it's a really cool journey.
Oh, I completely agree. I didn't even know the online world existed. Well, for me, it was 2017. So a couple of years before you, but mm-hmm. I found it through a Facebook ad. So whoever did their targeting for that Facebook ad did a great job, because I was the perfect person for that ad. And I signed up for a webinar, learned about this magical online space where you can work from home. But for me, I don't know if it was the same for you. Those first couple of years while I was doing this on the side, there was so much imposter syndrome creeping in, and like, am I actually capable of helping other people do these things? Can I actually do these things for other people? Like, I've been working in a 9-to-5 job for the past 10, well, at that point it was like 5-7 years. I don't know, something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this online world is. So did a lot of those feelings come up for you after you like decided that you wanted to actually start this VA business?
Yeah, I mean, there was quite a list of of different hesitations or limitations, because when I started, I was, I was working, I was at home with the kids, I was working part time, so there was that limitation of time and what can you accomplish, and you're now in this new environment where you don't work the 9-to-5 alone at the desk, and you can get whatever done in that 9-to-5, but now you're home with the kids, and that's the balancing too there. So that was a learning curve and a challenge. But I think I'll say two, there were two really significant challenges for me in that first year. And the first one was the fluctuation of income when you're building from ground zero.
Oh my gosh, yes. Say it louder.
The fluctuation. Yeah, the fluctuation of income when you're building from nothing. We don't give ourselves enough credit for this, because you're starting from $0. Just having to learn what does it look like to build something sustainable and build up a clientele. And honestly, I think that the reason my second year of business like kicked off and skyrocketed was because by that point I had referrals coming through, and like still to this day, like the referrals, they're just coming through. And that really was like a foundational piece of groundwork that was crucial, but it was really challenging because, we needed money. Like financial goals are a huge motivating factor. And that can be such a challenge when you're trying to separate those things out. The second thing I think was the biggest challenge for me in my first year. I wouldn't say it was imposter syndrome necessarily. I'm a very, like, I'll almost be like, oh yeah, I can do that, no problem. So I don't always struggle with the imposter syndrome as much as I do, like, probably being like, oh wait, no, I don't think I can do that.
Right.
But the second thing that was the biggest challenge was really just getting into the difficult situations with clients and not taking things personally with if it didn't go well, or if they didn't like me, or whatever. So it wasn't necessarily like this imposter syndrome, but I would, if I lost a client or if I had a negative interaction with a client, I would take it really hard, and I would kind of fall into this slump where I started having those repeating thoughts of like, oh, I just need to go get a job,
Oh, I know. I had those thoughts I don't even know how many times. I should just call my boss. I should just go back to my job. It's so much better and easier than doing all of this.
Yeah, I think I had a pivot, one of those moments where you just decide to change your mind. Because I remember having that thought over and over again. I was kind of getting annoyed with myself, for lack of a better word. I was getting annoyed with that pattern of, oh, maybe I should quit. Maybe I should get a job. Maybe, blah, 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 blah. And like, eventually I was like, why am I still doing this? I just need to decide that I'm doing this. I need to do it. And so I stopped having those thoughts. I just didn't give it any of my attention anymore. And to this day, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not going back. This is what I do.
Yeah. I mean, where energy goes, money flows. I don't know if you've heard that saying before, but it's very accurate. Yeah. I mean, all of those, well, those two points that you mentioned, yeah, they're so common because we're inundated with people saying that they reached six figures in 6 months. It took me 4 freaking years to reach 6 figures in my business because of all of the challenges that came up. So don't listen to what other people are telling you. They may have reached 6 figures, but were they working 100 hours a week? Like, maybe, probably. Did they have people supporting them? What was their relationship with their partner, their spouse, their kids, if they had that? So please don't get caught up in that. If you're listening to this right now, if you're in the beginning stages of your business, just stay focused on your goal. Try to do only the things that you need to be doing. That's one of the biggest things that I tell my clients, like literally only focus on the things that you need to be doing and outsource the rest, or just put it on pause for the time being if you're a solopreneur. Because it's way too easy to get stuck in that. And then you just go down that mindset rabbit hole of like, I'm not good enough. I'm going to go back to my job. I'm not cut out for this, blah, blah, blah. But in reality, you are good enough for this. You are capable of doing this. It's just going to take some time, and it's going to take a lot of hard work to make it happen too.
Yeah. I love that you brought that up. And it reminds me of something else that happened in my journey, in my 2 years of business, that I think is probably really common. And we need to create a space to support women really well in this. Between the first and second year of business, I had a miscarriage, and I had to step back and let my world fall apart.
Yeah. Rightfully so.
Yeah. And I think that is, to me, looking back now, that's such a wonderful display. Like, if you're looking for an example of that balance in my life where the work goals and the work priorities meet the personal priorities, I think that that's a really wonderful display of that in action in my life, because I just really let myself pull back, be okay with where things were, take time to process, take time to heal. And then when I kind of came back in my business, I came back in really headstrong, probably more so than I should have, because I was trying to escape a little from everything I was dealing with under the surface. But I also attribute that to another reason why my business was able to kind of take a turn and really start taking off, is because I really wanted to pour myself into something and recreate from a place where there had been this like brokenness and death, for lack of a better word, this death in my life. And so another reason why that balance is so important, I think that as women and just as people, we really, really need to be encouraging, especially in the online space, in corporate world and in the physical, brick and mortar. There's policies, there's face-to-face, there's all this structure in place for people to take their maternity leave and to, take their vacation time. And then when you get into your solopreneur world where you're online, who's encouraging you to do that? Who's giving you the support to do that? And we need to be saying to each other, hey, slow down, take time off, take care of yourself. You know, it's okay that you're grieving. Go do that and do it well and come back when you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. I'm trying to push that message as much as possible. So I'm so glad that you brought that up. Just normalize being a real person.
Yes.
Like you are not a freaking robot. You can feel your emotions. You can feel the pain that's happening inside of you. Your business is not going to go anywhere. If you take a month or two or three or whatever off, you can still come back to your business. it's literally not going anywhere. But you, if you do not take time to focus on yourself, deal with whatever pain is coming up for you, whether like for you, it was a miscarriage or even just mindset stuff that's clogging up your brain, your business isn't going to grow anyway, because like you're not focusing on yourself. You have to focus on yourself first and foremost. And I think that's where a lot of this, like this balance comes into play between the work and the personal, because the work is always going to be there. But if you don't have that personal side figured out in terms of like just feeling really great about everything and really focused on what you want to accomplish with this work that you're doing, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much there that you just said. That's so good. It makes me think about I think it's in the 4-Hour Work Week, the book, where they kind of talk about the difference between the traditional work world is like you work, you know, from your 20s all the way up through your 70s and you retire, and then you get that last little chunk of your retirement, versus, you know, this lifestyle of working for yourself really reflects that, where retirement is interspersed throughout the course of your whole life. And so I think one thing that we're doing really culturally and just across the board is kind of taking that model and turning it upside down a little and trying to break down how do we actually view work? Because we have done this 9-to-5 Monday through Friday is work, and then we get our 2 days on the weekend. Hope that's enough. And we have to change the way that we think about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think 2020 made that known to people who were just used to this like very rigid 9-to-5 schedule. And now they're home with their family and maybe they can't get their work done during the day because their kids are screaming. So maybe they do need to work on it at night. So they're not working during the day. That's a silly example. But I'm also reading this book. It's called Rest right now. I just started. I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but it really focuses on, I'll put the link in the show notes for you guys too, but it focuses on working less so that you can do more and make more with not only money, but just like in terms of your life experiences too. Because if you don't take that time to rest, especially if you're somebody who's in a creative field, which most people in the online space are, like it's very creative work, you need to shut down your brain. You need to do it more than a couple of hours at night. Like sometimes it is required that you take a week off at a time so that you can like reset and again, go inside and like ask yourself, what's going on? Like, is this goal that I'm working toward? Like, why do I want to do that? So I've just started the book, so I don't have all of the, I don't have all of the like secrets that he's sharing in it, but I highly recommend it because I'm like the first chapter in and it's already really good. But if you are somebody who struggles with not just understanding that it's okay to take time away from working, but also somebody who feels like compelled, like you have to be working, I highly recommend this book because it shows you not only the science behind it, but also like the emotional effect that it takes on your life.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good. I'm excited to dive in.
Yeah. Adding that to my list for sure. Cause I'm one of those people that I'm workaholic prone and I hate it.
Same. Yeah. When I worked in corporate, it was a badge of honor to be working upwards. Like if you worked 40 hours, you weren't working enough. Like that was the bare minimum. You needed to be in at 7 and you should leave the door at 7. So it was like minimum of 12-hour days plus weekends. Like it was crazy, the company that I worked at. But yeah, I think it's time to just change the story around that. Like I said, at the beginning of this, I can only work between 4 to 10 hours a week right now. And when I tell people that, they think that I'm crazy. And I was like, I don't have another choice. Like that is the season of my life that I'm in right now. Like that is the best chance that I have. Like I am focused for those 5 to 10 hours a week. And then after that, son, that's balance right now.
It's amazing. But that's what's so cool is that you're able to do that. Like you're actually
exactly
doing it.
Yes.
You're doing it. Yeah. You know,
it feels weird to say that because I'm like, oh, I actually am doing that right now. It's hard to comprehend sometimes when you're coming from that like workaholic nature.
Yeah. Yeah. I came across another resource recently. I've heard this before. It kind of floats around. I'm not sure where it originated from, but it's the concept of deep work.
He talks about that in that book.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's, I need to read the book.
Yeah. You do. Yeah.
But yeah, that this concept of like deep work versus shallow work. And yeah, man, I feel like when you can get in that deep work, you can do it in 5 or 10 hours a week. And you start to realize all the things you've been spending your time on that don't matter or that aren't moving the needle.
Yeah. And deep work is, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think I know what it is, but it's, I haven't really gotten to that point yet, but it's really focused work and really intentional work. So not just working for the sake of it, but like actually, like, for example, this is work that I need to be doing right now, like recording this episode with you. This is really focused and intentional work. Do I need to go update my website 50 times because I don't like the font or the color scheme? No, that is shallow work. That is not intentional work because that's not really doing anything for me or my business. It may be doing something for something in my subconscious, maybe because I feel like I need to be doing that. Like I need to be working, but it's not doing anything to move my business forward.
Yeah, that's absolutely what it is. It's like the difference between, you know, you take 20 minutes or even 30 minutes to respond to a bunch of emails, but you're just kind of rapid fire knocking things out. Like that's shallow work. It doesn't take any of your brain power really to do that. But if you're going to sit down and you're going to map out a launch and you got to think about a bunch of moving pieces and it's going to take you 2 or 3 hours, 4 hours, that's deep work.
Oh yeah. When I map out a launch, like that's all I do. That's all I put on my schedule for the day, because I know that it takes so much energy and brain power to do that. And I don't know about you, but I'm an introverted person. So like once I do that and I give all of my energy to that task or like an individual person that I'm talking to, like I'm done. Like I have no energy for anything else. I need a nap. Yeah. I need to eat something. It's crazy.
Yeah, I totally resonate with that. I can get through, sometimes I'll get through the end of my day and I'm like, my brain it's not even functioning. It hurts.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I say that to my husband all the time. Like my brain hurts or my eyeballs hurt because I'm staring at the screen for too many hours at a time. But yeah. I completely
agree that, everything you're saying about the rest and this personal growth, how those really work together. I think that's my number one takeaway for everything. I feel so much better about my work goals and my personal goals when I take time away to think, reflect, create, do deep work, or just rest, like just do nothing. And every single time I do that and step away, I feel refreshed and I have a better perspective for everything that I want to do.
Oh, absolutely. Same. And then I also have better ideas too. Like these ideas just start like coming out of nowhere and they're so creative and good. And like, what before?
Yeah.
Because your brain is stuck doing things it doesn't need to be focusing on.
Yeah. I thought about that too. Cause there was a couple of weeks ago, I was kind of been wrestling with this one problem in my business, like this one thing I needed to try to figure out. And you know, I sat at the computer for hours, several days in a week, trying to figure it out. And one day I was just up around my house, like getting ready to do something in the house, like on the laundry or something. And I had this idea come to me of this the perfect solution to my problem. And I was like, that's incredible. I didn't even have to work for that.
Yep. That happens to me all the time in the shower. So I actually bought, have you heard of Aqua Notes?
No.
So it's like a notepad for your shower. I'll put a link in the show notes for you guys too. But it's like, you know, when you have all those shower thoughts and you try to remember them, or like me, I'm trying to shout out to, I don't want to say her name because I don't want it to S-I-R-I. I want it to pop up on my phone to try to like create a reminder. And she's like, I can't hear you. Oh my gosh, you're worthless. So I bought this little notepad and it's waterproof and you can write down all of your thoughts and then you just take it and go.
That is brilliant. Too cool.
Yeah, it's great. And they have them on Amazon. Like I said, I'll link to those for you guys because everybody should have them because everybody has shower thoughts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you've heard of, somebody told me about this recently, I'm not sure what the brand is or what it's actually called. I need to get it, but it's a notepad that you can write on that syncs with, it has like an app that'll sync up with your phone. So you can like write physical notes and it syncs up. Do you have anything like that? Have you heard anything like that?
Oh, that's interesting. So I have an iPad with the Apple Pencil. So that's what I use, but I use the Notability app. So I can pull that up on my computer, but it doesn't turn into like text, like in a Word doc or something. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm doing some of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I use my iPad for everything. It's the greatest device ever. I do all of my brainstorming on there, all of my mapping. It replaced a whiteboard for me. But yeah, I don't know. Well, this has been an amazing conversation. I got a ton out of it, and I'm sure the audience will as well. So where can everybody find you if they want to connect with you or just say hi?
Yeah. So my website is MrsSmithAssist.com. So it's MrsSmith, Mrs. Smith Assist, ASSIST.com.
Thank you for breaking that down for us. And are there any social media platforms that you hang out on most often?
We're on Instagram mostly. Yeah.
Okay. Same handle, Mrs. Smith Assist.
Yep, that's it.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, I'll link to all of that in the show notes for you guys too. And again, thank you so much for being here, Jade. It was so great to talk to you.
Yes, this is an awesome conversation. Thank you again for having me.
You're so welcome.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Behind Their Business podcast with me, Steph Blake of the Blake Collective, which is a female-led company focused on helping online entrepreneurs start and scale their own businesses. If you or someone you know would make a great guest for the show, we would love to interview you. Visit our website at behindtheirbusiness.com to submit a short application and learn more about the show and how you can support our mission. If you enjoyed the show, we would love for you to share it with a friend or a loved one too. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Thank you again for listening to the Behind Their Business podcast.